Please turn with me in your Bibles here this evening. As I mentioned, we close out our Advent series of sermons. I turn to Luke chapter 2 once again as we have another song of Christmas made present to us here in the words of Simeon, that aged Old Testament saint. Luke 2, we pick up reading at verse 25 and read through verse 35. Beginning at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's ask his blessing upon it here tonight. Father in heaven, we do pray indeed. May this revelation from you truly touch our hearts and challenge us as to our walk with you. As we close out an old year and begin anew, Father, we pray that indeed our thoughts and our minds may be brought again to the great and finished work of our Savior and what he has done to bring glory to you in his work. Lead us and guide us. May your name be glorified in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those of you with good memories will recall that we began our Advent series of sermons this year on the last Sunday of November. And the very first song of Christmas that we studied was that song that Moses sang, praising God for his great work of redemption when he destroyed the pursuing Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, even as the Lord brought his own people of Israel safely through that sea on dry ground. We looked, you might remember, at that event recorded for us in Exodus 15. What we did not read that Sunday morning was Moses' powerful profession of faith, which he made to the terrified people of Israel in the 14th chapter of Exodus, before they had even crossed the Red Sea. The people, you remember the story, the people were all huddled together on the Egyptian side of the Red Sea, blocked from going any farther by this deep body of water. Pharaoh and his army are bearing down upon them, ready to destroy them, and the people are terrified. There's no hope, it seems, at all for them. But in the midst of that hopelessness, in Exodus chapter 14, Moses stands up before this quivering mass of humanity and declares in verses 13 and 14, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent." Beloved, what a remarkable confession of faith that Moses makes in the face of a grim and hopeless situation. And congregation, the reason that I go over this with you is because this is also exactly what we see going on in our scripture passage for tonight. For in Simeon's Song of Christmas, we hear of another righteous and devout believer in the Lord who also makes a remarkable and confession of faith in the face of a grim and hopeless situation. And I want to try to have us understand a bit how grim the conditions were in Israel at the time of our Lord's birth. There was political degradation. The Jews were hopelessly enslaved to Rome. God's promised land belonged to a pagan empire. There was spiritual darkness, for the religious leaders of Israel taught only a cold and dead legalism to God's people that brought no comfort, no hope to them whatsoever. And there was also prophetic despair. God had not spoken to His people through one of His prophets for over 400 years. They felt abandoned by the Lord. Truly, it seemed as if God had totally forgotten His covenantal promises. This is why it was such a time of grim and hopeless events in Israel. But beloved, God had not forgotten His promises at all. God's Spirit was still at work in mighty ways, but in only a few chosen people. In fact, in verses 25 through 28, we're told how Simeon is just one of those chosen people. Notice how extensively God the Holy Spirit is mentioned in those first verses of our passage that we read this evening. It's easy for us to focus on Simeon in these verses, but do not miss how Luke credits God the Holy Spirit and His work in Simeon's life. For three times in those first three verses, the Holy Spirit of God is mentioned by Luke, proving that it is God who must first work within us before we ever become one of His people. Now, our God is always active in bringing about His redemption. Even when it looks dark and dreary to us, God is at work. Notice too in verse 25 that Simeon, by the work of that Spirit, is, we are told, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And beloved, I would point out to you that that word consolation in the New King James Version, if you have one, is capitalized, meaning that it is referring to the Christ. And rightly so, I believe, because that phrase, consolation of Israel, was an Old Testament messianic term. All of God's Old Testament promises of salvation and redemption and deliverance were caught up in this one phrase, the consolation of Israel. And here is what allows Simeon to look forward to each new day, because the Spirit of God had convinced him that one day our grim condition as God's people on this earth will change. One day the Lord's deliverance will come. And beloved, finally, the day arrives. That same Holy Spirit that was at work in Simeon led both Joseph and Mary and this aged saint to arrive at the temple of God in Jerusalem at the very same time, causing Simeon then to see the Christ and to sing his song of Christmas. There are three main elements to Simeon's song. The first is his profession of faith. Look at verse 27. With me. Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Stop there, congregation, and notice that Simeon professes that now, finally, he can die in peace. Because he has seen with his own eyes. He's holding in his own arms the very Savior promised by God. And even though God's salvation was in its infancy, literally, yet because of the faith given him through the Spirit, God's redemption in Simeon's heart was as good as finished. In Simeon's eyes, it was complete, fully assured to him. And so not even, because of that, not even the grave held any fear for this aged saint, because his hope was fixed on Christ. And congregation, may Simeon's profession be our own profession of faith here as well, as those who also trust in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Because you see, unless the Lord returns first, every single one of us here tonight, every person that we know in our life, will also face the grave, won't we? Because faith in Christ, however, sees us through, enables us to look death in the face and to say with Simeon, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. You know, just in the last few weeks, we have had a number of our own people depart this world, didn't we? They never saw the end of 2023. We may not even see the end of 2023. We don't know what will happen on the way home tonight. And even if we see 2024, we may not see the end of that. That's simple reality in a fallen world. One day, every one of us is going to depart this earth and be thrust into eternity. Only this child, whom Simeon is now holding in his arms, Jesus, the Savior, God's Messiah, allows us to depart this life in peace. And so our profession must also be the same, that as sinners, our only hope in life and in death is our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And as God's people, congregation, understand that by grace, through faith, the Holy Spirit will give you what you stand in need of in the year that lies ahead, all the days of your life, whatever comes your way, that you will be able to walk hand in hand confidently with your Savior, not just through this life, but through the valley of the shadow of death as well. And how can Simeon make such a confident profession? It's not because his faith is so strong. Rather, it's because of how strong the one is on whom his faith rests. Look at our text again, verse 30 especially, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Realize Simeon is looking down upon this month-old baby boy, and he calls him the Lord's salvation. This word incorporates everything that God's Christ is going to do and be. His perfect life, his sacrificial death, his miraculous resurrection, his glorious ascension back to the Father's right hand. All of this Simeon sees by faith as he looks down up into the eyes of this infant whom he holds. Through the work of God the Holy Spirit upon him, Simeon's faith is strong because it rests in the perfect and finished work of Jesus. And beloved, our faith will be this simple and this strong when we too rest secure in Jesus Christ alone. Just as we sang in our song service, in Christ alone. May Simeon's confident profession of faith be our profession as we walk into a new year together. Secondly, tonight, we must also hear Simeon's message for the world. For the world. Start at verse 30 again and then keep on reading. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Beloved, with these words, understand Simeon's song of Christmas goes beyond really the scope and the teaching of Mary's song and of Zechariah's song and even of the song of the angels on Christmas morning. Because you see, Simeon, again, under the inspiration of the Spirit, reveals that the Lord's salvation, take notice, will be known not just by Israel, but by all the world. And I say that, congregation, because of how that word peoples, used at the very end of verse 31, notice, is plural. Peoples. You see it? It's very important because you see, if Simeon was only envisioning God's salvation for the Jewish people, he would have simply used the word people in this place, in this spot. Singular, people. And every good Jew would have understood that to mean God's people, His covenant people, the Jewish nation. That was the common teaching and thinking of that day. But by using the plural form, peoples, Simeon is intentionally challenging that standard understanding of the Jews of his day. He wants them to know that the Lord God of all heaven and earth is planning and preparing for the redemption of both Jew and Gentile alike, for slave and free, male and female. And in verse 32, Simeon affirms this truth by specifically mentioning both Israel and Gentiles, notice. So yes, Simeon is saying, even Gentiles, those who are born outside of God's covenant, those who are not raised hearing about the wonderful promises of God's redemption, in other words, those who now dwell in darkness, even they will hear of and see the light of God. You'll remember that our Lord Himself proclaims that He is the light of the world, and that everyone needs to be confronted with this revelation of the Christ. Namely, that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Jesus Christ alone. Not through your bloodlines, not into which home you were born, not by being raised in the church, not by being a nice person. No, we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. And this same Jesus also needs to be presented to the people of Israel as their glory. Take notice, as the end of verse 32 states. Now, what does that mean, their glory? Well, congregation, realize and understand that God's glory, if we look at this through the lens of biblical theology, God's glory is shown to this world through His people, through us, you and me. God had long ago, remember, chosen the nation of Israel to use in order to show His glory to the world. God first promised Abraham that all the world would be blessed through one of his offspring. God planted the nation of Israel in the promised land at the crossroads of the ancient world for the specific purpose of them to testify to that world of God's glory and grace. How He is the only, one and only true God of heaven and earth. From Israel, the Savior of the world will come and show glory to them all. This is why the prophet Isaiah in chapter 62, verse 3, can call Israel a crown of beauty in the hand of Jehovah. They were meant to show the glory of God to anyone who will look. Another way that God revealed His glory in Israel was His promise that His Christ would be born of the house and the line of David. Remember, we've been studying all of this. David's greater son would be the king of the world. And you see, in this way, glory comes to the people of Israel. And so this little child whom Simeon holds, Jesus, as the Christ, is the ultimate revelation of God's glory. And He comes showing that glory first to the lost sheep of Israel, and then to the Gentiles, so that they can hear and respond to the good news of Christ as well. That is Simeon's message, which the world still needs to hear, beloved. And may we be used by God in this new year to bring that same glorious message of Christ to those who yet sit in darkness and who need to hear the gospel of peace. Now, there's a third element to Simeon's song as well. It's not so much a part of the song itself, but it's a vital warning added on to the end of the song. And this must also go along with this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a warning. It's found in verses 33 through 35. Take notice of it. Verse 33. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this part here specifically, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Beloved, here's the third point of the message tonight. Simeon's prophecy for the future. Simeon reveals in this prophecy that God's salvation does not include all sweetness and light for the people on this earth. And this prophecy also reveals that this salvation is purchased at a great and heavy price. Yes, the message of divine redemption must go out to all people. But Simeon here is acknowledging that not all people will accept it. As Scripture tells us elsewhere, this Christ will be both a cornerstone for those who will submit to Him and believe in Him, while He will also be a stumbling block for those who reject Him. Notice that Simeon speaks of a sword that pierces souls, how the deepest secrets of our heart will one day be revealed by this Christ. And understand, congregation, that by so speaking, Simeon is here prophesying of Good Friday and Easter, of the cross and the empty tomb, of death and resurrection. And you see, beloved, it is exactly at this point that most people stop listening to the Christ of Christmas, right here. Daniel spoke about this morning. He was exactly right. These people do not want to talk about suffering and death. They don't want to think about their own sin or their need for the cross of Calvary. I mean, it's Christmas after all. Leave me alone. Let's just keep things light and cheery. We want a holly jolly Christmas after all, not a Debbie Downer Christmas. But beloved, understand this full well. Unless we dwell upon the events of Easter, we will never grasp the true heart of Christmas. And this is exactly what this warning is all about from Simeon. It's exactly why we need to study this last song of Christmas, even as we stand on the brink of a new year that stretches out before us. This is also why it's perfectly appropriate to have a communion service as we close out this Christmas season. How as we sing of, yes, that little child of Bethlehem, but he was born to die, to do this for us. Will only sweetness and light follow us all on into the new year? Maybe. That would be nice. But what if God instead ordains trial and heartache, disaster even to come your way, intense tribulation for us, even as our brothers and sisters in Nigeria faced on Christmas Day? Will your faith still stand firm then? You see, that's exactly the problem with how so many people in our culture today celebrate Christmas. After the gifts are all unwrapped, after the pretty lights are unplugged and the tree is taken down, the very child whose birth they celebrated is left in the manger until this time again next year. This is because most people can live with a baby Jesus, cute, cuddly. He's worth celebrating. He's not all that threatening. I'll even sing songs with his name in it as I shop in the stores. Oh, but don't talk to me about a sword. Don't talk to me about a cross and sin. I don't want to hear about judgment for what I've done or how this child will cause the fall and the rising of many. Those things make me feel uncomfortable. Those things sound very intolerant. I don't want a God who's going to judge me. I only want a God who will love me just the way I am and will let me do whatever I want in life. Oh, but let me be blunt to you, my friend. If that is your version of God, if that is your vision for religion, if that is the only type of Jesus whom you will tolerate, a baby left in a manger, then understand you have no true hope in life. And you have no reason for confidence as you look out upon a new year. Why? Because when you die, you will not depart this world in peace. If that is the God that you have, realize it is a God of your own making, an idol. And know that when the bottom drops out of your life, you will have no one to help you and no one to blame but yourself. While on the contrary, beloved, we who stand with Simeon and share a like faith in Christ with him, we confess that because of our sin, the cross of Calvary always looms large over the manger of Bethlehem. We realize and confess that this child was born to die. And so may Simeon's prophetic challenge not be lost upon us here this evening. And in conclusion tonight, notice how Simeon is especially challenging us as God's people. I want you to catch this as well. In verse 34, take notice, he states, "This child is destined for the fall and the rising of many," this part, "in Israel." The fall and the rising of many in Israel. In other words, this warning is especially for the church on earth, in God's covenant community. Among those who profess a faith in God, say that they love the Lord, this Jesus is going to cause a division between those who truly rest in Christ and those who only talk a good talk. So my question for you, beloved, as we stand on the brink of a new year, as we prepare to come to the table of our Lord, have you responded in faith and repentance to the true, full Christ of Christmas? Do you rest fully in the arms of this almighty consolation of Israel? Because with such a faith in Christ, you can confidently face this new year. With such a faith in Christ, you can even now depart in peace. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do come before you thankful for your holy word that challenges us and comforts us as your people. Father, may we not become lax in our understanding of who this Jesus is and what he's done for us. May we recognize the lost condition that we are in apart from him. And may we give eternal praise to you for your work of saving grace found within us. Lord, we would ask, may you guide us and comfort us even now as we come to the table of our Lord. Even as we partake of the body and blood of our Lord, may we be reminded of why this child of Bethlehem came into this world to save your people from our sins. Grant this blessing to us even now. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.